Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship. It's good to be with you this morning on another fine Sunday morning here up in the northeast of Scotland. We are broadcasting live. I can see there's people already on from Scotland and from India. So that's great to have you with us this morning. We will just wait a few moments, see if any more people arrive to join us for our service. We're still meeting across the internet. Our building is still not available. Good morning, Stuart. Good morning, Evelyn. Our building is not available. So we are still assembling together. We're still encouraging one another on a Sunday morning here on YouTube. We're also meeting during the week for Bible study and for communion. And anyone watching, you're very welcome to join us for that. Just get in touch with me. Look on our website and see what we're doing during the week. And catch up on YouTube with all our previous messages. So people are starting to join. It's Sunday morning, 13th of September. I think that's us now about 6 months into these rather unusual circumstances where we've not been able to meet face-to-face as a church. But I know we've still been growing as a church, growing together, encouraging one another, assembling together. And we can still do that even when we're not meeting face-to-face. So it's great to see you this morning. I trust this morning that you're all blessed, highly favoured, and deeply loved. You may not feel that, but you know what, guys? If you are a child of God, if you're a born-again believer, if you've been adopted into his family this morning, you have been blessed. God has blessed you. You are favoured. God favours you. And you are deeply loved because God loves you with an amazing passion. So amazing that he came to earth as a man, as Jesus Christ, to give his life for you. So you are, this morning, right now, blessed, highly favoured, and deeply loved. Let's open with a portion of scripture. Let's read a psalm. I want to read the start of Psalm 103. And to me, it's a wonderful picture of what it's going to be like under the new covenant. A prophetic picture of what we are living in under now, under grace, under the new covenant. So let this bless you this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I love the word. There's nothing in here that's extra or superfluous. It's all in there for a meaning. Forget not all his benefits. Why is that in there, guys? Because we sometimes forget some of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. There's that wonderful little word, all. He's forgiven all our sins, all our iniquities already. Read Hebrews 10. He's healed all our diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And here's a wonderful prophecy that we are now living under. As far as the east is from the west, that's a definition of infinity. If you go east, you can never reach west. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. My friends, this morning, we are blessed, we are highly favoured, we are deeply loved, and our sins have been dealt with through the amazing finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to celebrate this morning. that amazing work of Jesus. We'll celebrate that later in communion, but we'll also remember it during our message. We're going to have a message this morning. We're going to teach from the Word of God. We're going to receive an offering, and we're going to take communion together. So let's pray, and then let's launch in to the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you that we're here this morning. I thank you that we're in this place. I thank you that we have come together to assemble each other up, to build each other up, to encourage each other with your word. So I thank you, Father, that you are with us this morning. I thank you for the truths in your word that says you will never leave us nor forsake us. You are always with us through your indwelling Holy Spirit. We love you and we worship you and we praise you this morning. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So, let's start by preaching the word. I had been doing a series, but I branched off last Sunday, and I'm going to continue that little branch today and next week, and then actually in 2 weeks' time, Nunzi will be preaching, and she'll get back onto that Apologetics of the Grace message series with something that she's really passionate about. So that'll be exciting to listen to. So I want to carry on this week teaching from James 4 verse 7, and we'll be looking at verse 6 as well this morning. What did James 4 verse 7 say? It said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. This two-pronged attack, two things that we are required to do, and he will flee from you. To get the enemy to flee from us, we need to do two things. We need to submit ourselves to God, and we need to resist the devil. And I spent most of last week not talking about submitting or resisting, as in how to do it, but talking about the fact that we need to know what to submit to and what to resist. And I used a couple of examples. I told you that we needed to submit to health and prosperity, for example, and that we needed to resist the opposites. We needed to resist sickness and poverty. And I said that we need to know the true nature of God, that he's a good God, that he doesn't put sickness or poverty on us. We need to know the true nature of God so that we know what to submit to and what to resist. And I see many people in the church getting rather confused about what's from God, what's from the enemy, and mixing up what they need to submit to and what they need to resist. See, we should be resisting poverty and sickness. Like I told you last week, these are the works of the devil. They came in at the fall, along with sin. Their ultimate purpose is to kill us, so they're not good for us. And I said, according to 1 John 3, verse 8, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So what Jesus came to destroy, surely we must recognise and resist those things and submit to what God wants us to have and said. Abundance and health and abundant life, like it says in John 10:10. Or living in health and prosperity, like it says in 3 John verse 2. So I did spend a lot of time last week covering on this aspect, this truth that we need to know what's from God, what's from the enemy, what to submit to, what to resist. And we need to know the true nature of God. So last week I said I would continue this line of teaching and look at how we submit and how we resist, remembering that we need to do both. We need to recognise that there is an enemy, without of course giving him too much credit or overly focusing on him. You see, we've also got to realise that not everything bad in our life is from the enemy. Let's not be looking for the devil in everything that comes against us or goes wrong. We live in a natural world. There are natural things that just come against us. We do things to ourselves a lot of the time, giving the enemy credit for what we're doing. Don't see the devil in everything. That's not good for us. Yes, recognise him as a foe, as an enemy, but recognise him as a defeated foe with no real power. He goes around like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He's impersonating a roaring lion. So let's have a look. James 4, 6 and 7. Let's do verse 6 this time as well. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I was sitting in a car earlier this week, and I was meditating on these verses and thinking about what to preach this week. And I had in my head, I was thinking about examples of resisting and examples of submitting, and how do we resist and how do we submit. And I felt God draw me, as I was looking at the words, I was looking at the Bible, I felt God drawing me towards verse 6 while I was thinking about these things. And verse 6 talks about receiving grace. And that, I feel, allows us to submit and to resist. You see, verse 7 says, submit yourself therefore. That therefore means there was something before. And obviously, that's verse 6. So I was looking at it and thinking, yeah, so we're not alone in this struggle. We're not alone in this battle, in this submitting, in this resisting. We have God with us. We have enough grace for this. And I felt the Lord say, no, Vic, there's something else first. And I saw it. It says, God gives grace to the humble. And there it is. That's part of this therefore. To allow us to submit, to allow us to resist, to have that grace, to allow us to submit and to resist, to see the enemy flee, we require humility. We need to be humble. And that's what the word says. That's not what I say. It talks about, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore. So we can submit ourselves, we can resist, because of being in a state of humility. Look back at verse 6 again. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He's saying that humility is the opposite of pride. And that'll help us define humility. Because I don't know about you, but I did maths at university. I'm a kind of logic, science, maths kind of guy. English has never been my strong point. Sometimes I struggle to define certain words. And I was having a bit of a struggle in defining or getting in my head what humility is, what it is to be humble. But if we think about it as being the opposite of pride, I find that easier to define. So we'll look at that as we go through. But the Greek word for humility, or to be humble, is tapinos, and means base, humble, of low degree, lowly. Now, that doesn't sound very positive. But remember, when we're analysing this, we need to associate it with it being the opposite of being proud. Let me give you a personal example. Now, when I was younger, I used to have great pride in my power of recall. And I found school so easy. I just breezed through it. I saw a book, with a page of a book, or I saw a sheet with information once, and it was there. And I could just spew it out in exams. So easy. And I was so proud of that. I used to tell everybody. And I was puffing myself up when I was doing that. That's pride. But as I got older, I realised that was a gift from God. That was a God-given skill. God designed my brain in that way. It was a God-given ability. And I hope to think I got a touch more humility and a bit less pride about this gift. And I thanked God for it instead of glorifying in my my own ability. See, that's one of the things about the differences in pride and humility. In pride, we glorify in ourselves, and we're humble if we're in humility. We glorify in God. We give God the glory. We're not looking for the glory ourselves. And as I said, I was kind of not getting to the bottom of this meaning of the word humility from those Greek definitions. But I found an amazing dictionary definition for humility. Listen to this. It says, the quality of having a modest or low view of one's own importance. I'm going to say that again. It's the quality of having a modest or low view of one's own importance. Wow. Wow. There's so many things we can take from that definition in a Christian context. Humility is a quality. I love that verse. It's a quality. It's a good thing to have. Pride is not good. Comes before a fall. Pride is not good. Humility is good. It's a quality. It's something to desire to have. We should want this in our lives. And it's about a view. It's about a mindset. It's about a way of thinking. About how we think about ourselves and how we fit into this world. How we think about ourselves and God. What we value. What we think is vital and what we think is important. And of course, that is very important, that mindset or way of thinking, that value system, because we know that, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We know the power of our thoughts. We know how important that is. So humility is a mindset. It's a way of thinking. It's a core value system that we can have in our lives. Let me tell you about this. As I was meditating on this yesterday, I had this vivid memory of myself sitting in a school bus coming home from Forest Academy to Avis. And I remember this kind of thing happening a few times early on as I was in Forest Academy, when I was still a young teenager. Now, I wonder if any of you locals remember the old A96, we used to come out of Forest, and there would be the branch of the road going down to Kinloss and then down to Findhorn, and the roads would come apart and kind of diverge, but they were close together for a while, and then the Kinloss bus would go away. I vividly recall sitting on that bus from towards Avis, watching the buses to the side of me going gradually further apart and then moving away and out of my sight. And I had this weird thoughts in my head, thinking, I wonder what's happening to them now that they can't see me. There was this weird thought of, how are these people existing without me, without seeing me? It was almost as if there was nothing out of my field of vision. I'm just wondering, did anyone ever think thoughts like that when they were kids, or am I just completely weird? But I had those kind of thoughts, and it wasn't a pride, I don't think anyway. It was this sense as a child of being the centre of the universe, and that everything revolved around me, and what would happen, or what was happening, when I wasn't there. All about me. What was happening when I wasn't there. I look back now, and I have that strong recollections of it, but sitting now as an adult, thinking, how weird was that? But as a young child, we have that attitude. We are the centre of the universe, and the only things that matter is what's going on around our universe. Now, that is okay as a child. But the unfortunate thing is, we have adults, both in and out of the church, who still seem to think like that. I like to think that most of us have grown out of those kind of attitudes, and we think more of others, and we recognise the needs of others. And we realise that we are not the centre of this universe. We are, in fact, a minuscule, minute, tiny, wee part of this universe. We think more of others than ourselves, hopefully. And we give credit to the Lord. But some have not. It's still me, me, me. When our lives, and I'm talking about believers now, when our lives, it should be all about him, him, him. So let me redefine that definition of humility a touch that I found in the dictionary. And I think it's more relevant to us as believers. And it's useful to look at this when we're talking about humility and being humble. Humility, the quality of having a modest or low view of one's own importance in relation to that of God's importance. That is the key about humility. It's recognising our own low or modest importance in relation to the high valued importance of the Lord. Turn with me to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, and I think I'll read from verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the first increase of all thine increases. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son despiseth not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in him he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. I read on a bit further than I was going to there, however. some of the passages in this scripture helps define humility for me, especially verses 5 and 6. We're advised here to trust in the Lord and not in ourselves. Now, why would we do that? Well, it's an obvious answer. He knows best. God knows best for what you need. God knows what's best for your life, not you. God knows what's best for me, not me. He knows better than us. His opinions, his ideas, his plans are more important and better, but more important than ours. We should be seeing our views, our own views, as less of importance than his. Can you see that? Humility is about having a modest view of our importance, or a modest view of our plans, a modest view of our views in relation to what God says, what God does, what God wants. That's the key. Humility is having the mindset to trust in him and not in our own strengths. Now, he can only direct our paths in the right way if we listen, if we value what he says, and if we think more, give more preeminence to what he says than what we think ourselves. But this is counter to the culture that we've been brought up in. We've been brought up to be independent, to think for ourselves, to know our rights, to be self-made. That is seen as a sign of strength in our society. But according to Proverbs 5 and 6, that's actually a weakness. Trusting in self. Being self-made. Being proud of that. That's a weakness. Now, I'm not saying it's bad, for instance. I run a business and I've made it myself. But it's through the abilities that I've been given by God. It's through the skills that the Lord has put in me that's helped me be that self-made man, as it were. We need to think more of what he's done for us and not what we're doing for ourselves. And we need strength to be counterculture. There is no weakness in humility. Sometimes we hear that word being humble and in humility and we think of it in terms of weakness. Nonsense. It's, you have to be strong to be humble, strong to walk in humility. Humility is not about low self-esteem either. It's not about debasing ourselves. It's about comparing our own importance in relation to that of God and acting accordingly. And his importance should be way up there and ours like way down here. It's about recognising our strengths and abilities and gifts, but remembering where they came from and being thankful to God that he gave them to us. Humility is about knowing that God knows best and relying about him. Now, there's nothing weak in that, guys, because if we go with what God says, we are going to encounter persecution. If we go with God's plans, it's not going to be easy. Strength to be humble. And humility, we need this kind of attitude in our walk with the Lord and with the power and the gifts he has given us. Pride is about relying on our own gifts, our own strengths, our own talent, our own money, our own resources, our own career, and looking for credit in that. Self-reliance, that's what pride is. Pride is all about getting the glory for yourself. Humility is simply God-reliance instead of self-reliance, and it's about giving the glory to him. And there is power in humility, not weakness. Jesus was humble. Jesus operated in humility. As a man, he was operating in humility, recognizing the relative importance of his father in relation to his earthly body. He was on his father's mission. He was doing the will of the father. He could only do what the father did. He could only do what he saw the father do. Yes, he was operating in power and authority, but recognizing they both flowed from the father. I see that as humility. And no one can tell me that Jesus was weak. Jesus was powerless. Amen. But in all he did, he was putting the glory on to the Father. Let me ask you a question, friends. Will we be more powerful, more effective, of more use in the kingdom if we are operating in pride or operating in humility? Operating under our own strength or operating under his strength? Doing his will or doing our will? Doing what we think is best or what he thinks is best? They're easy questions, guys. It's about him. We need to have the correct mindset with regards to our importance compared to the importance of the Lord. And that brings me round to something that I am always saying. It's like, well, how do we know his will? How do we know his ideas? How do we know what he wants done? Well, it brings me back round to the importance of the word. You know, if his will, if his ideas, if his views, if his plans, if his thoughts are more important than ours, we need to know them. And where do we find them? One place. In the word. Studying the word. Rightly dividing the word. Letting the Holy Spirit, being in relationship with the Holy Spirit, and let him direct us and give us revelation from the words. And then if we're operating in humility, if we've done that, then there's something else difficult to do for many of us. You see, once we've found out what's in here, we need to line those up against our views, our perceptions, our ideas, our plans, our expectations, and see how they compare to those of the Lord. And then we need to be honest. And we need to admit ourselves that there's something different there. They don't quite line up. And then we need to recognise and admit that his views, plans, ideas are more important than ours. And that we could be wrong. Goodness sake, imagine if we're wrong about things. We need to be prepared to be challenged. And then, of course, We need to be prepared to change. Pride does not allow change. You're right. I'm right, you see. I don't need to change. I'm not wrong. That's pride. Humility is the willingness to change. Listen, the willingness to be taught, the willingness to be corrected and challenged and change that mindset. And most of us do not like that. I've been a pastor for many, many years now, and I have seen so many unteachable Christians. Like, they could never be wrong. That's pride and a lack of humility. Are we living in pride or are we living in humility? I'm going to leave you to answer that question. I'll leave that with you today. But if you're humble, if you're living in humility, if you're willing to see yourself and your views and your needs lower down in the level of importance compared to the Lord, then you have a much better chance of living out James 4:7. James 4:7. What does that say again? Submit yourself therefore to God. There's a therefore, so there must mean something before that. God giveth grace unto the humble. If we're humble, if we're living in humility, we will receive that grace, and therefore we have the ability to submit to God and resist the devil, and we will see him flee. Who wants the devil buzzing around us all the time? We want to see him flee. So we need to resist. We need to submit. And the way that we can do that is operating in a mindset of humility. That God's views are more important than my views. That what God wants in my life is more right than what I want in my life. That someone speaking on behalf of the Lord, a pastor, a leader, another fellow believer, maybe their views are more important than mine, and maybe I need to change to come in line with that. That's humility. Become teachable. Try and learn more from others and from the Lord. Get right into the Word. See what God's views are. See what his plans are for your life. Develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit so he can guide you to the scriptures and teach you and give you revelation of the will, the vision, the plan, the thoughts of God, and set them as being more important in your life than your own one. And boy, that will help us live out James 4:7. That is what the Word says. Not what Vic's saying. It's what Vic's recommending. But it's what the Word says. Let's move more in humility. And in order to do that, we need to understand his will. Understand his Word. Hallelujah. That will see us having a better chance of submitting to God and also resisting the devil. And next week, folks, I'm not going to promise, but next week I'm going to try and look at what does it mean to submit? How do we submit? Maybe some practical examples. And what does it mean to resist? How do we resist? And I've already got a couple of really good examples there that I was planning to teach this week, but then the Lord moved me on to someone else. So, hallelujah. Hope that blesses you. Hope that blessed you. Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the truths held within it. Thank you for these verses that we studied this morning, Father. Thank you for the seeds that we planted in our heart. I speak out understanding for every single one of us so that these seeds are not stolen. Thank you for the incorruptible seed that we have just planted in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.